that isn't enough for us, then it's also Palm Sunday, when we remember the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem at the time of the Passover festival. So I'll be touching on that briefly as well. I wonder if you ever daydream. I'm a terrible daydreamer. I find if I'm waiting somewhere and I've got a few minutes of downtime, I go off and I have conversations and I imagine all sorts of things. More often than not, I daydream when my wife's talking to me, but she always knows, because when I'm daydreaming, my lips move, apparently, so she can always tell. So she says, "Where are you? Who are you talking to? What's going on?" The things I daydream about sometimes are, what if the world was a better place? What if there was peace in the Middle East? Wouldn't that be fantastic? What if the NHS had enough money to fund all of the operations that it could have? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, what if we could get all the politicians around a table and knock their heads together, get them to come up with the best policies rather than just their policies? Wouldn't it be great? Sometimes we want a bit of heaven on earth. We want things to be perfect down here. And I wonder, perhaps, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and everyone was shouting, "Hosanna, here comes the King of Israel," there would have been a few in that crowd who would have wanted a bit of heaven on earth. They would have wanted a bit of that here and now with the restoration of the Kingdom of Israel. They'd perhaps been expecting Jesus to come, and they thought, this is it now, the people's hero. He's coming to establish the kingdom again. He's going to raise an army. He's going to throw out the Romans, get rid of all of the bureaucratic temple authorities, and it's going to be wonderful. And I wonder if people then were expecting that, hoping for that, one of their daydreams, that maybe God was going to do it here and now. And sometimes it can be like that, can't it? When we want God to act now, in the here and now, and we kind of misjudge the perspective. God is doing something, but it's from a very different perspective to what we hope and want. We want something to be practically happening. And as we can see, I'm sure some of those people at the triumphal entry would have had that misjudgment. I wonder what they would have thought a few days later. And as we go on to the saying that Jesus has, in the context of that, and I'll just read some of that passage, I think the disciples had the same issue where they were misjudging the conversations that Jesus had later on. Now, the setting for this particular "I am" saying of Jesus is the Last Supper. It's later on in the evening, and Judas has already left to go and tell the temple guards where and when Jesus is going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane, and so that they can come and capture him. He's already left. And Jesus has some conversations with the disciples, and I'll just read out the passage. Simon Peter says, "Lord, where are you going?" Because he's been talking about going to a place. He says, "I'm going to a place." Jesus answered, "You can't go with me now, but later on you will." Peter says, "Lord, why can't I go with you now? I would die for you." Peter is the one who had the sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I think he imagined possibly fighting for Jesus. They perhaps thought, maybe Peter thought, that the place Jesus was talking about was in fact when he would be captured by the temple guards. I think they were aware of the plot against Jesus. So there's some confusion, and in the minds of the disciples, again, they're thinking practically. They're thinking, Jesus is going to be taken away, or Jesus is going to go somewhere. We want to go with him. But Jesus talks about a place, his Father's house, that he's going to go to and prepare for them, which perhaps gives them a clue it's maybe not quite what they're expecting. And he goes on to say, "You know the way to where I am going," which I think leaves them even more confused. If I'd been there, I think I'd have just kept my mouth shut and thought, I've no idea what he's talking about. Thomas, who always just blurts out whatever's on his mind, says, "Lord, we don't even know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And that's when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I wonder if when he says, you know the way to where I am going, there was a hint in that statement as to what he might have meant. Well, let me digress for a moment. A few weeks ago, I went walking. And I went with a group, and they have been doing this walk for years and years, in fact, for decades. I went along for the first time last year, and this walk is in Yorkshire. And it's always the last weekend in February. I don't know why they go to Yorkshire in the last weekend in February, but they do. And I went along last year. I've been badgered to come with them. And it was, of course, pouring with rain. The whole day it rained, and I wasn't surprised. I think that it always rains in Yorkshire, doesn't it? And they actually were quite surprised. They said, well, actually, this is the worst weather we've ever had. It's never been quite as bad as this. And we'd got partway round the walk, and we stopped at a pub. I was in a bit of trouble. My knees were hurting. And I sat on a bar stool the whole time we were in the pub, just letting my legs dangle, and I downed a complete pot of coffee. Meanwhile, some of the other guys who were regulars, really, you know, do a lot more walking than I do, they were in the process of dropping out. I think they'd done it so many times before. They were cold, they were wet. We thought, oh, we can't be bothered this time. We're going to drop out. And when I came to say, okay, right, look, we're going to carry on, because I was keen to finish, having never done it before, there were just two guys left. And one of them had been briefed by one of the regulars on the route. He'd got the maps, he'd got them in a waterproof case, and he knew the way. And we set off, and I was just really focusing on my knees and how I was going to cope with the next stage of the walk. And I suddenly realized after a few miles that I had absolutely no idea where I was going. I had no idea where the route was. I knew we were heading towards the final peak to go up, and that there was a certain distance before then, but I had absolutely no idea where I was going. And I realized that my only hope was to stay with this guy who had the map. And essentially, he was my way. He was the way for me to get through to the end of this walk. And I just had to stick with him. In fact, at one point, I was in so much pain. It was lashing down with rain. Everywhere was soaked through. I was just lying on the ground, basically, in agony. Everyone had their hoods down, and these guys had walked on ahead. And then a couple of other walkers came past. And as you do, they stopped and looked at me and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry. Just carry on. I got up, and they actually did go ahead and stop these two guys, and they waited for me, and I got up, caught up with them, and they were able to give me a little escape route to bypass the last peak, because I would never have made it. But that guy with the map was my way. And in the same way, I think Jesus here is saying, I am your way. I am your way to the place where I am going. And that place is a place, the other side of death. It's a spiritual place. It's the place to be with God the Father. And Jesus is our way to get to be with the Father. He is our way through death. And so I believe when Jesus says, I am the way, and also when he goes on just after this saying, he says, no one comes to the Father but by me. I think what he means by that is, that's because I am the way, I am the route. Without me, you won't know how to get to the Father. I am that map of going through death. And I think there's a passage that sums up perhaps the attitude we can have where Paul is writing in his letter to the Philippians. He says, it is a hard choice to make. I want to die to be with Christ because that would be much better. So our attitude towards death can be confident when we know Jesus, because he is our path, he is our route, he is our way through death to be with the Father. I am the way. Let's also have a look at those other two I am sayings. I'm going to just do those ones in reverse order. So I'm going to start with the last one where Jesus says, I am the life. Just bear with me while I just have a look at a previous passage. If we go back to the beginning of John's gospel, if you recall, it talks about the word. And it says, just starting from verse 3, and with this word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from Him, and His life gave light to everyone. Jesus is the life because He was the life right back at the beginning of creation when all things were given life, all created creatures were given life, and that life came from Jesus. I am the life. And I think here, he's using it again in these two contexts. I am the life. I give life to all living beings on this earth. Everything that is alive because of Jesus and because the life that comes from Jesus. And I am the life eternal. I am the life beyond death. I am the one who can give life forever and ever. So he is using that context to talk about life in both of its meanings, the here and now and the future life that we receive. That is the life that Jesus is. And also that middle I am, he says, I am the truth. Now that one I actually found a little bit harder to focus on. And I think it's something we can just very much take for granted. I am the truth, yes, Jesus is the truth, and we can take it or leave it, we walk away and don't think about it too much. But it's actually a very bold, a very uncompromising saying, I am the truth. Everything I say is truth. Jesus is really claiming to be truth. Everything he does is true. Everything he says is true. And it's something to consider. Do we really believe everything that Jesus said is true? Because that's what he claims about himself. And if we want to try and pick and choose some of his words, if we want to say, yeah, that's good, I like that, that sounds true, I'm not so sure about that. What Jesus says about himself is that everything is true that he says. And we do need to consider that and think about our own attitude. And I wonder how seriously I take all of the words that Jesus has given us in the gospel. And do I believe they're all true? And do I take all of them? So that's quite a little challenge to us. So I think just a few things to leave us with. One is to whatever situation you might be in at the moment, whatever things you're facing in your life, are you looking at that from God's perspective, from that spiritual perspective? Sometimes we want it to be now. We want the fix, the solution here and now. And sometimes that isn't what God is doing. He's working from a longer perspective, a broader perspective, from a spiritual angle. And be comforted. We can be comforted that Jesus is the way, our way, even in the face of death, which is probably the most, the biggest thing we'll ever face. If Jesus can get us through that, if he is our way through that, how much more is he the way through this life and through the challenges of this life? If he can take us through death, then nothing is too difficult for him. He is our map, he is our route when we know him. And be challenged. Let's think seriously about all the words that Jesus brings us in the truth that he is. Let me just close in prayer. Father God, help us to see the situations, the problems.